I had a wonderful professor of homiletics in seminary. That's a fancy seminary word for preaching teacher. And his name was Dr. Paul Harms. He looked like Santa Claus. Dr. Harms said that none of our parishioners, when we got into a parish, none of our parishioners was at all interested in the process that we pastors use for coming up with our sermons. And I'm quite sure he's right, but oh well, this week, oy, you're getting it. Monday morning, my practice is to read the lessons for the next Sunday. And I had chosen this week's to, they're the propers for Labor Day. They're not the usual Pentecost propers, because I was going to focus on Labor Day. I jotted down the outline of a homily Monday or maybe Tuesday, and I was pretty pleased, I had a good jump on the week. And on Monday afternoon, my cell phone, basically an extension of my arm, suddenly stopped working. Just stopped. Tuesday, I took it to the repair shop, and I was told they would have a diagnosis of the problem within 24 to 48 hours. 24 to 48 hours without a phone? Seriously? I felt disoriented. I didn't know what to do. And like I said, Gus and I don't have a landline anymore. So for 24 to 48 hours, if I wasn't in the office and I wanted to make a phone call, I had to come over here to make a phone call. I was late for a call with the bishop because my phone didn't work and I had to go find a landline. This is very annoying, but you know, it's a first world problem, right? It's a first world problem. I get that. And I thought that this first world problem was a good inspiration for another round of sermon thoughts, focusing on both Labor Day and the forced hiatus from my phone. Later on Wednesday, though, the eyes began focusing on Hurricane Dorian. So Thursday morning, the staff and I all went through the preliminary parts of the emergency plan. And would we even have a church service on Sunday? How was I going to manage caring for all y'all during a hurricane without a phone? So late Thursday afternoon, the shop called Gus to say my phone was a brick. It would cost more to repair than the phone was worth. So off I scurried in rush hour traffic on US 19 to get a new phone. In the store are TV monitors with ever more dire hurricane updates. First thing Friday morning, with a new phone extending from my arm, I slipped into Publix for a couple 24 packs of water and kale. You prepare for storms your way, I'll prepare for storms mine way. Meanwhile, there were reports of offices closing, meetings being canceled, schools closing next week, and all that typical media-generated panic that I've experienced in the 20 years that I've lived in Florida. It's a very predictable panic pattern. Even so, I'd stopped thinking much about preaching because I was pretty sure I'd be telling y'all to stay home and stay safe. And then I watched in wonder as on Friday, the expected path began to shift ever so slightly east. Maybe I'd be preaching after all. So I had a great start already, and I was going to add the reminder that when a hurricane's path changes to steer away from us, it means we're lucky, not blessed. God loves the people in the Bahamas just as much as he loves us. With all that in mind, on Saturday early afternoon, I finished typing, I hit save, and I was happy I was done well ahead of time. And then I went to a meeting Saturday afternoon, and I went to Celtic Kirk. And then I went home. And my phone began dinging. And just like Dorian, the path of my sermon was to change dramatically. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder why I even bother writing sermons ahead of time. Seems like every other Saturday afternoon, there's yet another shooting. Yet another young white man taking another's lives into his own hands. What am I going to say this time to you? If I ignore the news and go with the sermon I've already written, then I'm ignoring real life. Faith has to deal with real life, or it's just pie in the sky. The thing is, in the years I've been here, and today is the 9th anniversary of when I began to serve Good Shepherd, I've had 18 opportunities to give the word of the Lord after an incident of gun violence. The average is twice a year, but this is at least my fourth opportunity this year and the second time in 3 weeks. What more can I possibly say? I don't think the word from the Lord has changed a lick since my first sermon after a mass shooting in 2011. But the utter mystery to me is that Americans haven't changed either. No matter how badly the violence has escalated, we just kind of sit here. In our gospel today, Jesus asks, which of two sons did the will of the Father, the ones who didn't want to do the work, but thought better of his decision and went out and did it, or the one who paid lip service to his father and then sat on his behind doing nothing at all? I hear adults griping how God's been taken out of our schools, but ask those same adults to put God's will into figuring out what to do in this country's relentless acceleration of gun violence, and I don't get quotes from the Bible. I get quotes from our Constitution. Our dedication to our rights over and above everyone and everything else isn't a legal issue for Americans. The law is clear, but it is a spiritual issue for Americans. What are we building here? A society whose foundation begins and ends only with individual rights? Or a society that begins with love of God, love of neighbor, and then self? Which one is the will of our Father? You know, we don't know much yet about our neighbors who were shot in Texas. One of those killed was a young student. And one of those shot, airlifted to Lubbock, was a 17-month-old toddler. Both innocent lives whose families' worlds have been blown apart, one forever. Three of our injured neighbors were first responders. One was a postal carrier. The cops and the postal carrier are just like those common, ordinary workers in the lesson from Sirach, people who work day in, day out, sometimes even at night, to make life better for other people. And we don't even know their names. We don't name the names of all the police officers and firefighters that serve us. I do know the name of my postal carrier, I'm glad to say. They're building on our foundation of a human society with the golden materials of service to others. And I'm very thankful for that. Certainly in serving others, they are doing the will of the Father. It's the kind of work all people are called to do in God's vineyard. Paul assures us that God will reward this work, but I think our first job is to be thankful for that work that they do. But how does our society actually repay their service to us? Our society repays them by putting them and all of us in the crosshairs of firearms. Our rights more important than our neighbors' lives. Is that building on Christ's foundation with gold or with grass? Once again, I know that some of you do not agree with me. I know that. And okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is God's will that we live in this violent society. Either way, I love you. You're my neighbor, even if we disagree on this. And I certainly don't think that I'm the embodiment of the first son, and that those who disagree with me are the second son. For one thing, I know I've got lots of second son in me. The list of ways I sit on my behind and don't do the Father's will is long enough that I won't be holding myself up as a paragon of anything. Well, unlike the first three sermons, this one was written at the very last minute. The culmination of this long, frustrating, weird, heartbreaking week was a very sleepless night last night. At times like this, and there have been too many, there's only one way forward for me to be a person of faith, and that's to keep my focus on God's kingdom through it all. And the first step in focusing on that is to give thanks. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for this community here today, each and every one of you, no matter what your opinions are. I'm thankful for God's invitation to all of us to gather as one, not because we agree, but because we are all children of God. On Labor Day, tomorrow, remember that the same God calls us all to work together in the divine vineyard, and we all have the same job in that vineyard, though we'll do it in billions of different ways. Our job is to work and pray side by side and to be a blessing to each other and to the world, to all of our neighbors. And as I've said at least 18 times, the work is very difficult, but the retirement benefits are out of this world.